is Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where an actual garbage man plays games 20 years or older that you, the listener, chooses. Every week, I randomly pick a game submitted by the community to play, kindly discuss. Welcome to episode 51. I am your host, Big Nemo, the Dream Burrito. So what's new in the land of Super Garbage Day Incorporated? Well, my N64 decided to stop working right when I was nearly finished with Road Rash 64, so that review is on hold until the problem is addressed. Otherwise, Portal 2 has won the Discord poll for the next game to be played to completion. So let's just go ahead and start that beast. You can look forward to two episodes of the Patreon-only series, Retro Deep Cuts, releasing soon. One of them will be Best Genesis Soundtracks, and the other is titled Top 10 Most Impressive Generational Leaps for the Franchises. As always, you can catch my first impression video of this week's game on our Super Garbage Day YouTube channel and occasional streaming on the Super Garbage Day Twitch. Links are up in the show notes. Now let's get back in them old segments, baby. It's time for the retro question of the week. MK Keith asks, what's on your gaming bucket list? Then he adds, there are so many popular games or series that I've missed that I want to check out, time permitting. Never played Symphony of the Night, a Diablo game, or Persona 5. Zodiac writes, I want to get a copy of Lunar Eternal Blue again and play it on original hardware. Is that on the Sega CD? Because that's expensive. I think that's just expensive no matter what. Rev also adds to the answer, Bloodborne. I have no PlayStation and have no intention of getting one, but that game looks rad. My answer to this question is pretty much all the non-Souls, Souls-like games. You know, since I took my plunge and nearly beat Dark Souls on the 360, I now get it. And I am ready to explore this like novel genre and see what else can piss me off into pure pleasure. Also, I do want to play Bloodborne, just to kind of echo what Rev said. All right, let's get down to what are you buying? Well, with that big fat Steam sale that just hit, I finally was able to grab a game I've been looking forward to, and that game was Control. I figured to be about halfway through it now, and my honest opinion is it's kind of repetitive. I mean, I hope it takes a drastic turn in gameplay, or at least in the gameplay loop. Or maybe the story gets a little better because it's getting boring, man. And I'm just fighting the same things over and over and over. And it's got one of those storylines that just kind of they can make it up as they go. And I'm a little disappointed. I'm a huge fan of Max Payne and Alan Wake. So hopefully it gets better. I've only sunk about 5 hours in, so we'll see. Another purchase I made was a non-working N64 on the cheap from eBay. And I bought this with hopes to kind of teach myself how to repair them. And once it arrived, I noticed that it didn't have a jumper pack in it. If you don't know what that is, in the front of an N64 console, there's like a little door or a little area that you open it, and there's a pack in there that looks kind of like a memory card. It's you have to have it in order for it to power on or at least to play the games. So I thought maybe that's the problem. Then I took the jumper pack out of my working N64. I placed it in the broken one, and no dice. It powers on, but there's nothing on the screen. So I thought, no worries. This is what it said in the description. So I returned my jumper pack to my working N64, and now it doesn't work either. This is ironic. So I've tried different jumper packs, different cables. I've tried S-video. I've tried just the standard AV. I've tried it on a CRT and on an HD television. I took apart the power supply that I was using to make sure the board was okay. I got nothing, man. So if anyone out there has a suggestion to get my actual N64 back up and running so I can beat Road Rash 64, hit me up on the Discord, please. All right, everybody. There is no 360 spotlight this week because I have done zero 360 shopping or 360 game playing. Been a little busy. I'll get back into it next week. Do not fret. But we do have a game to talk about this week. A game that a lot of people have slept on. And I've got a friend coming in who also beat this game this week on his stream on YouTube. And that is everybody's favorite Walter, the pug daddy himself, living that pug life, Van Fertel. Off the cuff here. Almost said off the tip, but that sounded really weird. So, Van, or lately I've been calling you Fern, because where the red fern grows before hose. And I watched you recently play this game via your stream, the retro stream on YouTube, Van Fernel. Just look up literally the word Van Fernel. You have that market cornered on SEO. And you know, us in the community watched you beat the game in what, 3 hours, 3.5?
Oh, with a big asterisk about it, because for streaming purposes, I did do some save scumming on the last boss because this game pulled a Ninja Gaiden on me. And
oh, yeah.
When you continued on the last boss, you have to do all, you know, I call them the Wily stages because that's basically what they are, like yep. Dr. Wily stages. And but yeah, I did manage to beat it, and this game, it's no joke.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm not sure if you were in the same boat as me. I know that this is a game based off of a movie that is also based off a comic strip or a manga of some sort, but I knew very little of the game itself. Did you play this before this week?
I had played it when I was a kid. I might have rented it a couple times or borrowed it from a friend, and I didn't have any real memories after stage one. And then when I replayed it, I realized why. It's like, because this game is freaking brutal. I don't think I had the patience to actually go through it when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, it's one of those games that the cover looks really familiar, but the game, the second I played it, I was like, not one single memory was coming back to me.
You know, funny story about that, because before I do the stream, I like to play the game around stage one, make sure, you know, there's nothing crazy going there. And that, you know, that cutscene before a stage where Little Nemo, he jumps to the bed and then falls asleep. I played that and Mrs. V came running to the room and saying, I know that game. My brother had that game just because of that sound of him running to the bed. It was embedded in her head when she was little.
No pun intended, huh? Ha.
Yeah.
No, that's good. A lot of these games have these sound effects and this music that will start and is just like, bam, like washing you full of old memories, unlocked memories. So actually, speaking of first levels, let's talk about, you know, our first impressions. I played it. My first impression video will be in the link below on this episode, and it was impressive. I thought, first off, it's Capcom in their NES prime, which is amazing time to be a fan of Capcom. The music is very well made in the beginning. The graphics are great for this time. At this point, I'm not sure which Mega Man they were up to, but they were biting from a lot of their other games. I see a little bit of Mega Man in there. I see a lot of DuckTales in there. And I just thought at first, like, okay, this game's pretty. It sounds good. You play the first level. It's kind of shows you the mechanics. You realize it's a game that you jump on critters. You make them go to sleep with candy, and then you jump on them. And they are pretty much the way you attack or traverse certain areas, because you're kind of useless otherwise. All you can do is jump and throw candy. Then you get past the first level, and then the difficulty spikes. And then that's about as far as I got on my first impression. But how did you feel?
Yeah, so out of the gate, when Nemo has a lot of weight to him. I don't know if you felt it. He doesn't really run fast. The jump is weird because I felt the jump was way more vertical than horizontal. It's kind of like he spikes upwards and then goes down instead of having that very comfortable, like Mega Man jumping arc. So out of the gate, you feel very limited. On top of that, the fact that you can't really attack, you can toss candy and the candy just stuns the enemies. But when enemy sprites are so big and your hurt boxes are also so big that even if you paralyze an enemy, sometimes you can't even jump over it. So you find yourself running backwards to avoid the enemy just to have it respawn again. So out of the gate, Nemo feels pretty useless as a hero. You don't feel powerful at all in this game.
No, and one thing I did notice is just a lot, like you said, a lot of large sprites, like pretty much is throughout the entire game. But that first level really goes hard in the large sprite department, paint department.
Yeah, out of the gate, you get that slap that this is a Capcom game. It's undeniable. The graphics, the music, the sounds, everything. It feels very, like you said, very DuckTales, very Mega Man. It just takes you to a specific time and place, you know?
Totally. I even saw a little bit of Willow in there, too. I think there were some resources that were some tile sets and that might have been borrowed. But it depends. I'm not sure when Willow came out, if it came out before or after this. But, yeah, so we kind of both had the same opinion on Little Nemo when we first played it. So let's really dive into the gameplay. So this game, it's a side-scrolling platformer. It's themed after you're asleep and you're rescuing some princess in the dream world, trying some evil creatures come in, and or some big baddie. And you, the object of the game is to traverse the levels. I think there's 6 or 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
8, yes.
Technically 9, but it depends. Technically like 12. But
Yeah, because level 8 is 3 stages. That's
yeah, it gets real Dr. Wily, like you said. But yeah, you have to find keys. They're hidden throughout the level. Ultimately, it's more of like a, instead of it being like a traditional platformer, it's more like problem solving and taking a lot of hits. So the enemies respawn every, just any second you leave one pixel, leave the screen, come back, they respawn. And like you said, your Nemo is pretty much useless until you make some type of animal that you're able to ride, go to sleep, and use them and their different powers.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, so the way this game works, you feed the animals candy. There's specific animals, and then after you feed them 3 candy, they become friendly, and you can power up, kind of like Mario. You can get have a frog, and you can jump, but the frog is very slow. You can actually jump on top of enemies. The thing is, even when you get an animal, not all of them can attack. And the ones that can't attack, basically the sprites are even bigger. So your hurt box is huge. Some enemies just come flying at you and there's literally nothing you can do to avoid them. You just went in front of the screen and they came out of nowhere. You don't have a chance to avoid them at all. This game is very frustrating in that aspect.
It is, actually. There's a little bit of, like I said, there was a big difficulty spike from the Mushroom Forest, which is the first level, going into the Flower Garden, where it gets real, real fast. And you're introduced to more creatures that you're going to have to use throughout the level that do different things, like the bee that allows you to fly temporarily, the monkey that allows you to punch, but also traverse, like scale the sides of vertical areas. And then you're introduced to like, oh, it's kind of a hidden area that's not exactly supposed to be a secret, you know, that you go up the tree trunk and then there's an upper part, which is so hard. And then you're introduced to swimming and then like a mole that can dig and all these different things really quickly in the second level. And they're really at that point are throwing enemies at you nonstop. And that's where they introduce my least favorite enemy, which I called the pollen monster, but it's that little floaty white thing that had like a mean face.
Oh, I call them the spores. The thing is, like,
spores.
When I saw the spores, you see they have an evil face that just gave me this Ghost and Goblins vibe I could not shake off.
Oh, this game has a lot of Ghosts and Goblins DNA in it.
And I had a suspicion going in that Tokuro Fujiwara had his hand in this game. He's not in the credits, but he was actually the producer of this game.
Really?
And I knew, yes, and I could just feel it. It's like this sadistic enemy that is the worst. So these spores, they fly in a zigzag pattern, and when they're close enough, they lock onto you and then go straight down.
This, I know.
The thing...
No matter where you're at on the screen, and it's like, they're so hard to avoid, especially if you're on the ape, and the ape, it takes up like twice the amount of tile sets as Nemo by himself.
Right, and the thing is, you have to bait them so that they go straight down, so they go off the screen. While they're doing the zigzag thing, if you don't do that at any point, they will hit you no matter what, where you are in the screen.
Yeah, and you have a limited amount of hits you can take. You can collect what I was calling bottles of salt. But you can extend your life bar past your initial three hits to, I think, five or six. I think five. But, you know, also in the second level, they also introduce you to two things that make it even more difficult, which is the spikes that are one hit kill a la Mega Man, and then like bottomless pits that kill you instantly. And this is all just the second level. To me, I was so surprised in the difficulty spike.
Yeah, and the hurt boxes are so huge too. It's when you're riding one of the animals, if you go anywhere near a spike, you will die instantly, even when you feel like it didn't really touch your sprite.
Right. And, you know, otherwise, this second level, the flower garden, is very similar to the mushroom forest and the objective of just collecting the amount of keys, getting to the door, going through. Then you're introduced to a third level. It's called the House of Toys, which is a auto-scrolling level where you're on a toy train. And I recall you not liking this level whatsoever on your stream.
A pet peeve of mine is I freaking hate self-scrolling stages. I don't have the patience for them. And if you die, you just have to go at whatever pace the stage has. So it's not like you're going to go really fast to the point where you left off. So... this game just keeps throwing crap at you. I think there's a lot of RNG involved in stages like that in this particular game. And sometimes those little toy planes will just keep crashing on you. You get hit twice. And by the time you reach the part you actually died in, you only have one hit point, and whatever new thing the game throws at you is gonna kill you, and you have to do it all over again. Because this game, except for very specific stages, has no checkpoints.
I know. And it has weird checkpoints, because I noticed in the second stage, if you get to the middle tree part and you die there, it starts you there. But if you go past that middle part and die, it starts you at the beginning of the stage. So I was like, what is this? I think that was just a mistake, like an error in coding. But this House of Toys, like auto-scrolling stage, not only throws those planes at you, which I felt were like faster pollen monsters ultimately, but then it introduces like the roof caving in with the spikes. It goes up and down. And
oh, right. And then you get put in a really bad spot where the spikes are coming up and down. When they do that, you usually have to duck while they're coming down. But then you have a little plane that's about to crash on you. So you have to choose, do I dodge the plane and try to duck afterwards? Or do I just take the plane damage so the spikes don't kill me? And those split moment decisions usually end up with you dying either way.
Yeah. And what's funny to me is I don't think they introduce a level mechanic like this anymore in the game. This is it. Because when you move forward to the next handful of levels, which is like the Night Sea, which is an underwater level, of course. You know, and then you have like Nemo's house, which personally I love. That was my favorite, because I'm just a sucker for when you're tiny in a big house. I loved when games did that. And then following that, I believe, was the Cloud Ruins, which is kind of a sky level, but they're all following the same format that the first two levels did, which is find the keys, use the animals, and traverse the world without dying too much.
And you know, something I found very interesting is that I found that the key mechanic was completely unnecessary, because finding the correct animals was the criteria to keep advancing in the level anyways. So you pretty much, I think you're double dipping in the exploration aspect. So you make it twice as tedious, because, for example, you know, farther ahead, it gets to a point where you don't have to pick up keys, But the flow, it's pretty similar in terms of you have to find the correct animal to advance in the level. So the progress is gated no matter what.
Absolutely. And they let you like keep more keys. Like they don't deplete all of them at the end of the level. So you could just load up on keys and be good the rest of the game.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they do reset the next stage over.
Oh, on the beginning of this? They don't when you die, I assume then? I could have swore I got to one of the stages and I still had like, I had two keys in the, but I could be wrong there.
Well, I died so much that maybe they reset after your game over one way or the other, because good luck reaching a new stage and just carrying over the keys without dying.
Well, yeah, and like I said, the next three levels after that train level are, they're different, but they're, like I said, they're following that same format, and we'll talk about how they look and everything in a little bit, but then you get to the topsy-turvy level, which I thought was I don't know, that level just felt really short and kind of like just buffer, you know, like it's fluff.
Which one was that? Was that
it's supposed to be an upside down. You know, like the levels, you're supposed to be like, it's upside down. You're going across it and it's upside down. And it's the same format. You got to find the animals and just get through a lot of mouse breaking blocks level.
Yeah. Okay. I just played this and I vaguely remember that one. So that's how memorable that stage was.
It's so short. And like I said, it seemed unnecessary because when it throws you to the last stage, which is Nightmare Land, it gets very Dr. Wily. Where there's multiple parts, there's the first introduction of bosses in the game. There's zero bosses up until this level, and they make you fight three of them in this stage. And this stage is no joke.
And the thing is, you run into the princess, and then she tells you, "Oh yeah, you don't have to collect keys anymore."
Oh, and here's a weapon.
Yeah, and then you can use a staff to attack enemies and shoot a fireball that you hold the button and shoot diagonally. Here is something that I think will have made this game so much better. That scepter is in Nemo's back the whole damn game.
Yeah.
So I think a compromise will have been, you know, there is a melee attack with it. You should have been able to use the melee attack the whole game. And then when you reach the princess, she unlocks the power and you can shoot the fireballs. I think that will have made this game so much more enjoyable.
I agree.
You will have a fighting chance no matter what. You wouldn't have to spend your time just running away from everything.
Yeah, and also they're really emphasizing the use of the animals, but there's too many animals. And the levels would have been better balanced if half of it was you fighting with the staff, you having a melee attack. Instead of the emphasis on keys animals.
Yeah, and the thing is that some of the animals are kind of redundant if you think about it, because what's really the difference between the mouse and the gorilla? Both can climb and both can attack. It's just how the sprite looks and how
the mouse attack, can break through stone though.
Yeah, but technically you could make the gorilla punch through the stone in terms of I'm talking more in terms of the actual functionality of them.
Right.
They're kind of double dipping, and they're both variations of the lizard. Pretty much.
I feel the game is not really there. Like it didn't feel complete. It felt like not a first iteration with its gameplay mechanics, but it felt like a 2.5. Like it wasn't quite there. You know?
And the thing is the Wily, I'll always call them the Wily stages. There are basically feel like a completely different game. Like a Mega Man designer designed those stages. Because they're more action-oriented. There's a lot of traditional platforming, avoiding hazards. You don't have to go exploring, looking for keys. So everything feels more scripted, if that makes sense.
You're talking about Nightmare Land?
Yes, and I feel the challenge was more... It was challenging, but I felt it was more balanced because things felt more deliberate than running around looking for keys with enemies respawning from every direction.
Yeah, and to me, it felt a little bit somewhere in between Ghosts and Goblins and Mega Man, like 2.
Ghosts and Goblins. Yeah, again.
The pros like of that level.
Fujiwara's like evil shadow. You could feel them in those last stages. It was just lurking there.
Well, I mean, that's really... I don't know if we can say much more in regards to gameplay of Little Nemo. But we can talk a little bit about the way it sounds and the way it looks with graphics and audio. So I think the game really shines in this area. it's they put a lot of effort into the graphics, into the sound, especially the music. I was pleased with it. However, you know, there was some graphical issues with a lot of glitching, a lot of sprite flickering, because they really were loading the screen full of many colors, many sprites as they possibly could. And I think it paid for it a little bit, especially in the first couple of levels. It's really obvious.
Yeah, I think this game released, I think, 1990, because it's based on a 1989 anime, which was based on a comic strip from which actually published on the papers from the early 1900s. But I think they were going really hard to capture this is a late 80s anime, you know how extravagant those were. So they were going all out to visually make this game impressive. And honestly, I think it is one of the more impressive games visually for the NES, especially for Capcom. But it came at a price that sprites were huge in this game. And I'm not just talking about your sprites, enemy sprites also. So when there was a lot going on in the screen, you had the typical Mega Man slowdown and flickering all over the place.
Yeah, definitely. And right from the get-go too, which is unfortunate. But I do think they did put a lot of time and effort into the cutscenes, into the intros. The ending's really funny. This guy looks like Liver King. Talks to you, and you don't know who the Liver King is, look it up. But yeah, I just thought the sprite work was really good, and I saw a lot of the Willow. See, I see a lot of Capcom's pulling from other games in this game, or vice versa, because I see there's a lot of ingredients of Mega Man, Ghosts and Goblins, Willow, maybe even I don't think they worked on that game, so not that one, but you can tell like the teams were probably the same teams that worked on all those. And then especially with the music, because this game has some of the best music I think on the system personally.
Oh yeah, so the music in this game was composed by Junko Tamiya. She was the composer for Bionic Commando, Strider, Final Fight, Street Fighter 2010, and Codename Viper. So all of those games had bangers of soundtracks.
Yeah.
So she made the soundtrack for this game and pretty much left the video game industry, which is crazy. But she definitely she was a big part of that late 80s Capcom DNA.
What was her last name?
Tamiya. Okay. Junko.
Okay, not Furuta. Furuta. Okay, so... Yeah, I mean, it was the first thing I noticed when I played the game, and it maintained. And some levels aren't as good as others, but I mean, the majority of these levels are absolutely fantastic. And this is definitely a game I think worth checking out the soundtrack to, because it's catchy, it's well made, it fits the theming really well, and quite frankly, it's probably a top 10 best soundtrack on the NES. But I mean, don't hold me to that, because I'd have to do some deep reviews. But it's joined the list, at least for me, if I were to have to make that list.
So. And then when you reach the Nightmare Land, those Wily stages, they're straight out Mega Man music.
Absolutely,
it's just like absolute like Mega Man banger. It's so good.
Nice, yeah. And I like I said, I heard a little bit of DuckTales almost composition too in certain levels, but. Specifically the which level in particular gave me DuckTale vibes. I think it was either Nightsea or the Cloud Ruins. One of those two. I'm thinking Cloud Ruins gave me some DuckTales on the NES music vibes, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure it might have been the Cloud one. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, you got anything else to add to the way the game looks and the way the game sounds?
It's NES late 80s Capcom. That's as good as it gets for that system.
That's 100% true, my friend. Well, okay, I think it's time for us to give our verdict on Little Nemo, the Dream Master. Van, I'll let you go first. Where do you place this if you were to have to put it in a rank?
Okay, so, you know, you'll try to be as objective as possible going in to a game. So, full disclaimer, I had the anime, the Little Nemo anime that had that VHS. I played the crap out of it. I had more exposure to the actual anime than the game. I played the game a little as a kid, but didn't remember that much. So I went completely biased, wanting to 100% love this game. That was my, I'm just want to like play this game and have the time of my life. But a lot of the choices they did in gameplay, just, they were not good. The exploration mechanic with the keys is really frustrating, especially because of the respawning enemies. You don't feel, I feel like this game doesn't have a good flow to it, because you got an animal, you're going towards a key, now you're running away from everything that's coming at you on the screen. So I felt like I survived this game more than anything. Every time I beat a stage, it was a sigh of relief, as in, okay, that's done and over with. It wasn't, I didn't feel like, you know, fanfare, like, yeah, I beat the stage, like, I feel good about it. So in terms of the gameplay itself, I think they should have simplified it, because the nightmare stages felt more like the game I wanted to play to begin with. Nemo actually could attack, you know, you didn't have to collect the keys. It had bosses, so that felt more like the experience I was going for going in, and it's very late in the game.
Yeah, so where would you place it on us, like, as far as like a grade then?
Okay, so as a grade, on my stream, I gave it a 3 stars out of 5, because in terms of gameplay, the music, the visuals, I loved all of that. But I can't just go out there and say like a Mega Man game, I can say Mega Man 2 any day. I can say, hey, go play Mega Man 2. You're going to have a great time. I can't honestly say that to anyone except the most hardcore of NES players, because I know they're not going to have a good time. They're going to maybe play stage 1, say this is pretty cool, get to stage 2 where they hit that difficulty spike, and they'll probably never pick up the game again. So I will say 3 out of 5. I will recommend this only to the most hardcore of players. The casual retro game enjoyer, I think you better stay away from this one.
Interesting. The way I feel coming into the game, I actually expected a completely different type of game. If you look at it from a surface level, it looks like it's going to be like a Capcom platformer that we're used to. It could be a Mega Man style game, or it could be, I don't know, Strider, you know. But what ended up playing, what confused me, because I felt this game did lack direction the entire time. And it was trying really hard in other departments. Say, you know, the amount of effort put into the graphics and the music really wasn't there for the gameplay. And they're really pushing this narrative of like using these animals and using these different things. And it didn't help that I just came from playing Mario 2 and like dissecting that game, which ultimately Little Nemo's gameplay style, it felt significantly worse coming from playing Mario 2 last week, and just solidifying that Mario 2 is still a really great game. But yeah, I agree. That last level should have been the whole game. It should have been 7 more levels of that. They could have done a lot more than what they did. And I don't quite understand why they went with that. Collect the keys, use trial and error, use the different animals, even though some of them are redundant, like you said. And some of them just aren't fun. The mole isn't fun. I get it. We're digging through sand, but you can't jump and you go super slow. And I don't care. I just don't care. You know, when I'm throwing bombs in Mario 2, that's fun, breaking up sand, or if I'm flying through it with Toad. But, you know, oh, whoop-de-doo, there's another animal in the game that I could care less about. So I honestly, the game is pretty. It's a Capcom game, but it's actually one of their worst, I think, in regards to their platforming legacy. And I put it at a D+, dude, honestly.
Yeah, you were more generous than I was, but I can't help but feel that the collecting keys mechanic was, they ran out of time. Maybe they were capitalizing on the fact that I think the anime and came out in the West at the same year. So So I felt like they designed all these animals and we're designing the stage around them. And they got to a point where like, crap, okay, we're out of time. We're just going to put all these keys around the stage and then phone it in. That's kind of what it feels like. Because the deliberate stages, they feel like everything was done with a purpose. The average stage, it's just, let's just toss all the enemies we can, put some keys and, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah, deliberate stages for sure are like the train auto-scrolling and then the last stage. And then the rest of the game is fluffed with the go find the keys, use the animals, and go to the door with a... What's weird to me is like the amount of keyholes. I'm like, why can't... That's weird. Like, why not just put like a number and then keys? Like, you have blocks that look like keyholes that have serve no purpose other than to tell you how many keys. I don't know. It's just, they weren't all there with it. And I know CQ-ism's heart's going to be broken that we didn't like the game, but... Hey, it's pretty and it has fantastic music. So,
yeah, it's. I didn't hate the game, but I wanted to absolutely love it. But
yeah, I was disappointed.
It's a hard sell.
Yeah, it's a hard sell. All right. Well, I think it's that time. I'm gonna spin this wheel. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You'll be the first to know. Let's go. What's it gonna be? Cause I can't with things. Oh no.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good.
So this game is a game that a friend of ours in our little community of retro content creators did an episode on a couple months back. It is available on the N64 and the PlayStation 1. And some people say that it is the first Bloodborne. Do you have any idea?
Uh-oh, I know where this is going.
The next game next week that I'm playing, I'm going to play on the PS though. I'm picking the PS because my 64 is broken, is Goddamn Nightmare Creatures.
Oof. Good luck with that one, man.
Well, thanks, Van. I appreciate you coming on the show. If you want to catch Van Fernal, check out Van Fernal's retro stream on not just YouTube, but also Twitch. I noticed you stream on both. So I think you just put Van Fernal in either of those places and they can catch you streaming. You stream 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, generally around 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And what are you streaming next? You just want to give us a little sneak preview?
So I'm actually doing something different in December. So I decided I am doing Disney December in retro stream. So I'm going to go through the whole library, because it's a lot of games, but I'm going to go through the retro games of Nintendo, Mickey Mouse Capade, the movie tie-ins by Capcom, Castle of Illusion, and pretty much just that month I'm going to take it to just exclusively stream retro Disney games. So I'm gonna post a calendar of what I'll be playing, but I'm really excited to do something a little different. So keep an eye out for December, because I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Nice. Hey, we'll look forward to that. There's a lot of Disney platformers I've never played, so that's awesome. I myself will probably start the Rite of Passage 2 soon. So
oh yeah, let me know what that looks like, because I think I'll partake in some of that action too.
Yeah, I'm going to start with a Mega Man 1 Buster only, so I can't use boss weapons.
Oof.
Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, and I'm going to throw him like under the bus. Like Zeke, this is an open challenge to do the first rite of passage. You've been putting it off for far too long, so you got what it takes, man. Just go for it.
He does got what it takes, and he's got a mister, and I'm super jealous that he has a mister. So yeah, Zeke, you got to at least try it. There's a patch waiting for you, buddy. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, and we'll see everybody next week for Nightmare Creatures. That's going to be a really funny first play, because I have played it, but I don't remember anything. And then I listened to the Main Quest podcast review of it, and I was like, oh no, this is in the Patreon pool. So the time has come. So I want to thank my guests for being here today and talking the old Nemo. And remember, actually, no, never mind. I'm going to say stuff after this. So, all right. I'll just end it with this. All right. Thank you, Van. I will see you on the Discord and on your stream.
Right. Thank you for having me.
All right. Peace. I want to thank all the patrons who help support the show and allow me to create Patreon-only episodes. For only $2, you can get access to over 30 episodes of exclusive content, such as shows called Retro Deep Cuts and Backlog Eternal, and occasional special events like the Super Garbage Bowl and the upcoming 12 Minutes of Christmas. And new episodes are right around the corner for everything. If you got this far in the episode, then please consider leaving us a review. It helps our show grow its audience, and as usual, I'm going to give a shout-out to the shows that I enjoy. Keith over at the Main Quest just had a great Mortal Kombat 2 episode with a couple hosts. Retro Hangover just reviewed Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, and they've been dishing out a lot of media lately. And Tadpog has a hilarious episode on Last Action Hero for the SNES. Highly recommend all of those shows. If you haven't already, please join the Discord. It's free. It's a small community of like-minded misfits like you and I, and you can vote on certain topics for free, like the games picked for Backlog Eternal. Everything I just stated is in the show notes. Wow! I almost got through that, man. I was so close to getting through that without messing up. And of course, the last sentence, I just fudge the freaking bucket. Anyways, I am the Nature Boy B. Ross, and as always, never judge a book by its grammar, and I hope you have a super garbage day. Cut to me!
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say everybody, guys, bye!